Welcome to Hero Hype, episode 3. We are back. I'm Marima, joining me as always, the flash to my arrow, Donya. Hey, welcome.
I love how I'm Barry Allen.
Yeah, because you're sweet and lovely, and I'm crazy. So I think that's why it works. If only I had Oliver's commitment to his workout routine. We are going to be talking about Arrow and the Flash really soon. We're going to talk all about the crossover episode. Before we do, I just want to remind everyone you can find us on Twitter at Hero Hype Podcast. You can leave a comment for us on the post for this episode on hyperbole.com. That's hyperbole.com. That's the website that hosts our podcast. And let's ask for something new this week. If you feel so inclined, you could head on over to iTunes. You could click on Hero Hype and you could leave us a nice rating and a review. We would really appreciate that. While you're over there, why don't you hit the subscribe button? That way you'll never miss out on an episode. Other people will be able to find the show. It's win-win. Win-win-win. Everyone wins. So, Donya, I know you just watched the Arrow, the half, I guess, of the crossover.
Yes,
and you had to rein in the feelings before we started recording, but let it all out. What did you think?
Oh, my God. I don't know what I was expecting from a crossover episode, but it was, like, a million times better than I was expecting. It like, exceeded any expectations I might have had. I was expecting it to be good, and I just loved every single second of it. Because Barry, as I'm sorry, I'm taking it there. Barry's a little shit, and I love him. He is, because oh man, just him winding up Oliver and just being like, it's just perfect. Oh.
Now, is this just the Arrow half, or did you like the Flash half as well?
I loved the Flash half as well, though. I did have a moment of wanting to, like, roll up a newspaper and smack Oliver on the nose and be like, no, bad Oliver, because the bit where they're in, like, it's the coffee shop, I think it is, and Felicity and Iris are off, like, chatting in one little bit and being awesome kind of friends, because I'm totally into that friendship, by the way. That is so cool. And he kind of goes to Barry, oh, guys like us never get the girl. And I'm like, Oliver Queen? No. Bad Oliver.
Yeah, whose fault is that, Oliver? Jerk.
Yeah.
I really liked both of them. I have to say, the only thing that kind of got me was it felt like for both episodes, they were making a real concerted effort to make it understandable if you weren't watching the other show. And because of that, I feel like they missed out on some things they could have done. You know, like, the Arrow one was very much like, you didn't need to be watching Flash to kind of understand, oh, this guy's back, and oh, he's super fast now, and et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, it just made it a little, I guess, more simplistic than it could have been. I really enjoyed the you know, Flash versus Arrow, as it was called in the Flash episode. I really liked the confrontation. Cisco is my favorite character in this entire universe. So anything that he is in, more Cisco, I am super on board for. And I thought they did it really well with Diggle's reaction to Barry's speed, kind of summing up the reaction of basically the entire Arrow audience if they're not on board with that, because it is something that we haven't really seen, and it does really change the universe. And I think they did it really well. It was very clever the way that they went about it. I hope we see some more. They certainly left it open for more Arrow and Flash.
I loved Cisco, screw you, Captain Boomerang.
Oh, yeah. Also, what is it with these shows and making the bad guys Australian or, like, Australian-related? Because, seriously. Oh, quick update. I finished watching Arrow before the crossover episode happened, so I was all up to date. And, seriously, what is it with Australian bad guys? Slade is the worst villain. He's, like, the Captain Birdseye of villains. Like, what is he doing? He's got his eye patch. He's got his terrible over-the-top accent. He's got his super deranged destroy the world because the girl that I was not even with died because someone pointed a gun at someone else first. Like, it's just so, makes me so frustrated.
I was waiting for you to get to that bit.
Just
because.
Yeah, well, quick recap, I suppose, of my quick review, I should say, of my Arrow rewatch. I really liked what happened with Moira's storyline. I thought that worked out really well. There was nothing much left to happen with her, and I liked the parallel with Robert's death. That was really good. Loving what's going on with Thea and her new agency and kicking ass, and the change with Malcolm Merlyn. That's really interesting as a character development we like to see. But yes, definitely a big fan of the end of Thea saying the words, "Lies destroyed this family, Ollie," etc., etc. Like, we get it. You don't like secrets. Please say any other words at this point. I feel like every character on these shows has a catchphrase. And maybe it's just because I watched the episodes in such quick succession, but they really stuck out to me. And so, you know, about 2/3 of the way through season 2, I was like, if someone says save the city one more time, I'm going to throw this computer across the room. But of course they did. And, you know, all of the Tommy flashbacks still, it's like a knife to the heart every time he turns up. Not into this new love triangle at all with Oliver and Felicity and Ray Palmer. Am I meant to like him? Am I meant to be on board with him? Because he's like a gross, creepy stalker, man. And if I'm meant to be okay with, like, him basically stalking her to take this job because, oh, it's, like, super romantic, no way. Uh-uh. Not happening.
No. I am also not into the Ray Palmer school for stalking to get someone to take a job.
Yeah.
That was super creepy.
Yeah.
I also kind of... Arrow has a really big theme of almost starting, ending the seasons as they kind of start. They kind of go full circle.
They do, that's true.
So I feel like Ray Palmer's almost a necessary evil to get Oliver's head out of his ass. So
I sure hope so, because if they don't get together, I was on that team from like 7 episodes into season 1.
Yeah.
I need that to happen quicker.
Yeah.
You know.
But I don't know. I guess it's just never going to be smooth sailing for that ship. I mean, until they kind of finally get together. But I think Oliver kind of needs to get over himself a little bit before they get to the point where they can have a real meaningful relationship.
Yes.
I think Felicity is at the right point. She understands the risks. She understands what this life means. But she also understands that, you know, they kind of need that love. They need that hope. And they need to be able to have that little bit of light within their life as well. And for her, Oliver is very much that. But she can separate it. And I think Oliver's at the point where he can't. And that's probably a lot to do with everything that's happened with Sarah and everything that's happened with Laurel before as well. You know, especially the stuff with Sarah, you know, that is going to, like, do some real damage to him. But, you know, maybe this season will show him kind of moving in the right direction. We've already seen it a little bit with when he went to go after Felicity and then caught her with Ray. But I think he still needs to go a little ways before he's in the right place for it. So I'm hoping by season's end.
Yes. Shall see. We have the mid-season finales of both Arrow and Flash coming up next week. As we saw from The Flash has, I would say, is a little more exciting. What we have coming up on The Flash, because we have the return of Firestorm. We also have the Reverse Flash confrontation, finally. And I just have to say, my favorite thing about the Flash universe is the ridiculous villain names, like Professor Zoom, Reverse Flash, and the way that they're all puns on speed. It's just, like, whoever thought of these, I just want to shake their hand, the creator of all of these ridiculous names, because, like, they're just the worst villain names you could ever think of, but it makes it somewhat appropriate when, you know, Cisco is giving them all these terrible names. So I love it, but it's also hilarious to me.
Yeah, I absolutely love the ridiculous names as well. I mean, they're kind of the names as well, but I like that they're framing it as them being named by these guys, because it's like, of course they'd come up with ridiculous names.
Exactly.
Of course they would.
It makes a lot more sense than it being like a newspaper, you know, giving them kind of nicknames or something like that.
Yeah.
Because you're like, they're kids, you know, what do you expect?
Yeah.
So are you excited? Firestorm, Reverse Flash, looks like it's all happening.
Yeah, I am hoping, I'm really, really hoping that the Reverse Flash stuff, like it did for Grant Gustin, will come out of nowhere for me, because I kind of want it to be something someone unexpected, because I'm expecting it to be Harrison Wells,
mm-hmm.
the scientist guy. That's who I'm expecting it to eventually turn out to be, but I don't know. Grant Gustin said that it will be an unexpected reveal, so I'm hoping that, you know what, maybe I'm wrong, maybe it's not him.
I could see it being Eddie or someone related to Eddie, just because of the new storyline that they have introduced. I think that's the other main theory, Wells or Eddie or one of Eddie's descendants, depending on how far they take the time travel thing with Reverse Flash. So we shall see. I have to say, I'm not a huge fan of that Flash versus the police storyline, only because we've already seen it on Arrow for like 2.5 seasons.
Yeah.
And unless they do something incredibly different with that, I don't know how interested I can be with that.
Oh, now that you're all caught up on Arrow, have your opinions about Detective Lance changed now that you're up to date, or do you still feel the same about him as you did when you were watching season one?
What, that he's like the worst character in the world? Yeah, they've obviously changed. My issues with Lance were his issues with Oliver, not his issues with the Arrow. Yeah. So since that was kind of cleared up, then that was fine for me. Lance has actually had probably some of the most solid character development on that show, arguably. Laurel, on the other hand, still a train wreck. So we'll see what happens with that. Have to say, Sarah was my favorite of the Lance family. So yeah. That's unfortunate.
Speaking, I think you're in the same boat as most of us.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Arrow, we're going to have a couple people back. We've got the evil Australian Slade Wilson himself coming back in season 3. What are we thinking about that? He's on the island right now, right? In the prison?
Yeah, he is. Lian Yu.
Yeah.
And, I don't know if he's going to break out. I don't know if we're going to get it in a flashback. I kind of like Manu Bennett, so I'm as cookie cutter villain as he can be sometimes. I still kind of enjoy him.
I think, but I'm just personally offended by the Australian-ness of him. I think that's what it is that really gets me.
Oh, it's so fun.
Yeah, and then we also have Bex Taylor Klaus, who plays Sin. Which will, I'm assuming, tie into the Sarah storyline.
Yeah. I really like Sin.
Yeah, like, I really like their relationship as well. So yeah. I think that'll be nice to see her come back.
Mm. And we should also be getting back Katie Lotz as well.
Yes.
Because she did that little Instagram picture the other day. And we know that after the break, so after the mid-season finale, the first 3 episodes we get when we get back after the break are going to be Laurel central.
Boo.
So it's gonna be it seems like this is where they're gonna do the launch of Black Canary.
Yes.
Laurel.
Yes, unfortunately.
I'm still not convinced.
Me either.
However,
but I'll give him a shot. I'll let him try it out.
This is the thing, is I saw an interview with one of the executive producers, I can't remember which one, who was saying that just because she's becoming the Black Canary doesn't mean she's becoming the Black Canary, as in she's not going to instantly be awesome, and a lot of her arc is going to be the fact that she's taking up this mantle but doesn't entirely understand what it means. Now, if that's the direction that they're going in, and she's going to struggle with trying to be a hero but not really having the kind of resources behind her that she needs to be a hero, and just doing it for the sake of, at the moment, trying to get revenge for her sister, then I think that will kind of create a really interesting conflict between her and Oliver. And it could play out a lot differently than how I'm expecting it to. But if they jump in feet first into, yay, she's a hero now, she's the most awesome of awesome to awesome her way through through Starling City, you know, I don't think that would work.
Yeah. But I see what you're saying, and I think that could be interesting. I have to say, in Laurel's favor, I am liking the new agency that her character has in terms of her making decision about, you know, wanting to have the ability to defend herself and, you know, take revenge if that's what she chooses to do. Even if Oliver doesn't deign to give her permission to do that. I do really like that. I like the parallel that has with what's happening with Thea. And I am interested to see where that goes. It has improved Laurel slightly for me. But like you said, I think it's going to depend a lot how this whole thing plays out.
Yeah, definitely. But I will remain optimistic because as far as female characters go on this show, they tend to be very on point with everyone else. Laurel is that one blip that I'm not entirely convinced on. And I don't know if that's... I don't know if that's down to the writing or that sometimes the acting just doesn't come off all the time in the right way. But I think there's a balance that needs to be struck between them. And I think they're slowly starting to get there.
Yeah.
So I'm going to remain optimistic for now. But, you know, I think the beginnings of this Black Canary arc kind of going into who Laurel could be, that may be the make or break for that character for me completely. So we'll see.
That's true. All right, let's talk about something else that I'm sure you have plenty to say. Constantine is going to end season one at 13 episodes. This has not yet been renewed for season two, but the option is still open, correct?
Correct. So NBC are still promoting the show fairly heavily. They recently got the cast to appear at like the Macy's Thanksgiving Parade, which I'm told by my American friends that is a big thing.
Apparently.
Apparently. So, you know, they're still promoting fairly heavily. Honestly, I come from the UK, obviously, and I don't understand the obsession with super long television seasons. I don't understand this 23, 24 episode thing at all. I never have. It feels like so much, and sometimes it spreads like stories really, really thin, and you get more weaker episodes out of it because of that, because you need to fill in the gaps between your big story arc moments. In the UK, a lot of television series are a lot shorter, so, you know, Downton Abbey runs at about 8 to 9 episodes, Merlin was like 12, 13 episodes a season. That's completely normal to me. I don't necessarily see seasons that are 13 episodes long as a bad thing. Okay, NBC's original intention was that it was supposed to be a 22-episode season, so they were leaving it open to order a back nine. But I think in terms of Constantine itself, a 13-episode, a shorter season, especially if they do season two as a shorter season as well, could really work in its favor because they can then condense down the story properly and hit all of those marks, and it could just mean that it ends up a stronger program because of it.
Yeah, and I'm not watching Constantine, but I do watch Hannibal, which is another NBC show, and they ran a 13 episode season for season one and season two, and that seems like that's going to be what they're doing. So yeah. NBC doesn't seem tied to the, you know, 23 episode format if it works better for the show. So I don't think this means Constantine is dead. Obviously, it's a bit of a change from what they originally had, but, you know, they still have time to renew it, so no need for panic stations yet.
And I know the ratings aren't like its live ratings are not where it needs to be. Interestingly, even though its share in the 18 is it 18 to 49 or whatever it is, the demographic is quite low on the live share. Interestingly enough, they're still hitting around 3.5 million viewers a week, roughly around that, which, funnily enough, is about the same amount of viewers that Arrow and Flash are getting. But because of its time slot and because of what it's up against and because of how it works out, that actually gives them a lower rating. So I don't know. It's very interesting how it kind of all works out.
Yeah,
But
I think it'll be interesting to see how this plays out.
apparently it's DVR lifts are supposed to be really, really good. So there's lots of people who are like streaming it through different means. I mean, in the UK specifically, Constantine isn't going to be airing on TV. Amazon Prime bought the exclusive streaming rights to it. So you can only get it if you have an Amazon Prime account. And at the moment, it is number two, I think, in the highest streamed TV series at the moment. So it's fairly well received over here, as far as I can see from that. I mean, there's a lot of shows on Amazon Prime Instant Video in the UK. So it seems to be doing fairly well streaming wise. I don't know if NBC are going to take that into consideration. I mean, there's been a lot of discussion about how viewing habits are changing and that sort of thing, but I don't know what they might do with Constantine, because at the moment, you know, those live numbers are still what will make or break a show. So advertisers still only care about how many people are watching their adverts.
Yes, we will soon find out. We will keep you guys updated. Danielle will be keeping a close eye on that one.
Oh, yeah,
We have a
definitely.
lot more news to talk about, but just quickly, if you want to know more Constantine, Danielle wrote a great column about what's next for Jim Corrigan, and this was tweeted out by the actor, so it's endorsed. So you can check that out and find all about what Danielle thinks is going to happen next. Gotham. Yeah, you still watching Gotham? They just had the mid-season finale.
Yes, I'm
Yeah.
still watching Gotham
Is
for
it
my sins.
Was the
It's
how was the
not really.
finale?
It was kind of an eh for me, but the whole show is kind of an eh for me. I'm tuning in every week, mostly because I feel like I should probably give it until the end of the season. Whether I'll be picking it up again, I don't know.
Yeah, and I
I.
will wait until it's finished and then I'll watch the whole thing because I
Hmm.
can't, like, with the pace and what is happening on it right now, I can't watch that week to week. But we have found out that, the premise of Gotham is obviously Batman before Batman, focusing on Jim Gordon, and we see all of the eventual Batman characters as very young. They're taking it a step further now. They're going to do a storyline before a character is even born. They're doing a prenatal origin story for Robin, which I just find hilarious for some reason. It's going to be
Read that.
how Robin's parents get together. So it's not even Robin, it's just eventual Robin. I mean, I guess if you're going to do it, go all out is their motto. I don't know.
I just read this article and I just looked at it and then I closed the window and then went back to Hyperbole and refreshed it and it was still there. I was like,
Yep,
okay,
this is
this
not
is
a joke.
yeah. I had to check the date. I had to make sure it wasn't a joke. I think that's almost stretching it to ridiculous levels. I mean, I get it. I do. This is supposed to be pre everything that we know. But, you know, I think that's a little bit silly.
I think, they're just trying to hit the mark with all of the characters that people will have heard of, especially in the first season, and then, maybe, hopefully, please, they'll divert from there at some point. It's just the way they're talking about this just makes me laugh. So, we've just had the mid-season finale, so, this won't be back until 2015, but we will find out then. Apparently, this is coming. Let's talk Marvel, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I have been traveling, but I've caught up on this. How are you feeling about S.H.I.E.L.D. at the
Yes.
moment?
Oh, I'm still really, really liking it a lot. Like a lot more than I was enjoying season one. And I'm not saying that season one was awful. I mean, season one, up until the Captain America 2 deviation point, wasn't great. But this season has been a lot stronger. The episode that just aired this week, have you seen it?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Because I was literally screeching, Mac! Mac! No! At my computer.
I'm not that invested in Mac as a character. You know what I was excited for? Confirmation of Kree.
Yeah.
Confirmation that this is Inhumans, basically. That's really between the lines. That's essentially what Rena was saying in this. You know, obviously
Yeah.
have to take what Rena says with a grain of salt, but she's basically saying, you're human, but something more. We just mentioned Kree, so you're an inhuman, Skye. Welcome to the family.
Which I think that's going to be super interesting if they move Sky across into the actual Inhumans movie. That would be so cool
Yes.
as like that link in. I would love that.
Well, yes, but you know, the Inhumans movie is for 2018, so we've got a little while.
No.
We
No.
do, you know, there is a possibility. I think also maybe what they're trying to do is just connect it with the wider universe that we were introduced to in Guardians without necessarily doing a strict crossover. But now that we as a viewing audience knows that that part of this universe exists, now they can draw on that. I think it'll be interesting. Ward makes me not want to watch this show at all. I cannot deal with the Ward right now, especially in the most recent episode. That's when I was screaming at the computer, when Ward's like, come on, you're coming with me too. Anyone who thinks that Ward is a good guy at this point, like, please just leave. Just leave everything.
That's the
Leave the
door.
show. Just please go away. He is the worst kind of guy. He is like the awful, possessive, entitled, mansplaining, disgusting grossness of a human being. And I hate him forever. And what I'm worried about is that they're going to try and redeem him in some way, and then Sky and him are going to get together in some way, and then I will quit this show. And I know I threaten to quit a TV show like every single week on Hero Hype, but seriously, if they get together, I will quit this show because that is makes me feel like actually ill, the thought of that.
I don't think right now that there's room for redemption for him. All of his actions so far are just, they're not, for me, they're not moving in that direction. There's nothing at this point in time that is redeemable for him.
I really hope not, but I also feel like they've been very insistent on the point that, like, everything he's doing for her.
Yeah, but that's
I
terrifying.
know,
Like,
but this is TV.
I know, making her the center of his universe, and he is literally going against orders that he's been given by the people he's working for currently. Like, you know, he's bringing Sky back when he was told like not to. He is literally making her the center of this universe, and it's like, ah, Ward, stop it. What are you doing? I mean, great, because it means Sky lives for at least one more episode.
Yeah, I feel like
But, you know.
the next episode is going to be fairly Sky-centric.
Which I'm all there for, because
Yeah.
I Sky was one of those characters that I started off fairly lukewarm about. Like, I was like, okay, she's kind of cute, she's kind of quirky, she feels very kind of not like other girls, kind of thing
Right, she's
that
different. She
people
wears her
tend to.
hair. She's a brunette. Like, she wears combat boots. Okay, Tumblr.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah, it was kind of moving in that direction, and then they kind of decided to like make her really interesting.
Yeah,
Like,
they've retconned her character so well this season.
yeah.
Everything is yeah, I'm definitely on board with Sky. With May being her SO.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's that change that really made me get on board with it. Oh, and that's the other funny thing. Like, are they trying to save money? Like, Ming-Na Wen playing two roles, is that just them trying to cut down on some paychecks? Because I just found that so funny. I mean, I'm all for her playing. I would watch the Ming-Na Wen one-woman show of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, don't get me wrong, but is there a reason that they kept her face for Agent 33?
I really don't know, but I'm kind of loving it.
Yeah, I want another fight with them.
I kind of want to put Ming-Na Wen's face on, like, every single character.
Yeah, please. That would be fantastic. Speaking of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we got a little bit of Agent Carter news. This is exciting. The premiere is going to be a two-hour-long premiere. So we know this is the 6th of January, so they're going to run the first, but it's not extra time. They're just going to run the first two episodes back-to-back, which means that because they've got 8 weeks set aside in the S.H.I.E.L.D. mid-season, they're probably going to have to take a break. They're going to have a mid-season for the mid-season, unfortunately. Yeah. But, you know, I'll take it. 2 hours of Peggy Carter to kick it off. I am all for that.
Yeah, same.
Oh, yeah. And if they don't extend this out past 8 episodes, they are crazy.
I think it's going to be... It's a nice thing to potentially just keep putting in the breaks of
Please.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, I think that would be really, really good. Like, just a little mini-series to kind of tide us over between, like, the mid-season breaks.
Yeah.
I think it fits so well. And, I mean, even if it's not directly related to Captain America and the Captain America movies, it gives a lot more context about the time and how his death affected things and affected people, and how we get to points like the Iron Man movies and Captain America 2 and that sort of thing. So it's going to be really, really interesting to then have, when you go back and watch those movies, this whole other layer of information to kind of go in and see those movies with fresh eyes again. It's going to be so, so, so good, because it's going to make your viewing experiences for the whole cinematic universe different.
Yeah, because ahead.
I was going to say, because this builds you up to everything that Tony Stark becomes, essentially, because everything that affects Howard Stark in this season is going to eventually affect Tony Stark as a character, and will probably give us a little bit more context on how he is in his movies. Like, it's going to be super cool to go back and watch those movies again.
Right, and I was going to add that I don't even think it needs to tie necessarily into Iron Man or Captain America. So long as it ties into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., that's all it really has to do. Obviously, people will be able to watch it having watched the movies, and I'm sure there'll be small connections with that. But I think Season 2 of S.H.I.E.L.D. has really proven that they can do a TV show without it being reliant on the films.
Yeah.
So I would love to see Agent Carter become a regular mid-season replacement for them. I think that would be a really clever idea. And, hey, it hits another one of those genres that Marvel's always trying to get. They can go back and do the historical thing. So
yeah,
I feel like they could be into this. But, you know, we haven't even seen Agent Carter yet, so we'll wait and see, although all signs point to it being awesome and totally amazing.
Yeah.
Last bit of TV news for this fortnight. Do we have our Supergirl, the original star Claire Holt, another Australian, finally doing something good? Looks like she's in talks to be Supergirl. And you had some casting in mind, so how do you feel about this?
Actually, I think she'd work fairly well. Like, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I will put my hands up, though. I am not an Originals or Vampire Diaries fan. Like, I've not seen a single episode of
Me
this
either.
Show. So, not entirely sure what she's like as an actress. She seems to be like a major fan favorite, though.
She does.
So she is going to be in an NBC series called Aquarius, which is coming up, which is a crime drama, because I'm like, it's a a period crime drama. It's set in the 60s, so it's like, ah, yes, period shows of like any kind of different time period I'm super into. But I love crime dramas, so I'm probably going to be watching that at some point. So I'll get an idea of what she's like as an actress if she does become cast as the new Supergirl. But like her look, I know that sounds really superficial, but her look, it seems really on point.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
For the characters, so... Mm-hmm. You know, I'm definitely going to check her out, regardless of whether she is confirmed to be cast. But I'm okay with this.
Yeah, and I'm kind of with you. I haven't really seen her in a lot. She was in Pretty Little Liars as well before she did Vampire Diaries and Originals. So people may have seen her in that. It looks like she's fairly new on the acting scene, but she's making some waves. So I agree with you. I think she could be good, but I haven't seen that much of her. We'll keep our ear to the ground, as it were, and find out, because we're both very excited about Supergirl series.
Yeah.
Let's talk movie news. Last time we were talking about some possible Suicide Squad casting. Now we've got it all. It's all confirmed. They've announced it all. Unfortunately, Jared Leto as a Joker looks like that's their headline, their headliner. We also have Will Smith as Deadshot, Tom Hardy as Rick Flagg, Margot Robbie, who is already confirmed as Harley Quinn, Jay Courtney as Boomerang, and Cara Delevingne as Enchantress. A few of these were already rumored, but now we have confirmation. Let's put the Joker aside for a second. How are you feeling about the rest?
I am, for the most part, happy.
What's the reservation?
The reservation
or who,
is...
should I say?
Who? Oh god, I'm gonna sound terrible. It's Kara.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not sure about her. Just because I feel really terrible for saying it. She's... not really been acting very much, and what I've seen her in, I've not been particularly convinced on. So I don't know how she'll do as the Enchantress. I'll reserve judgment for the fact that they've clearly gone through the whole casting process and she's the one who's come out on top for it. So, you know, okay, fine. But she's kind of my reservation out of all of them. I know a lot of people have reservations about Will Smith and Tom Hardy. Will Smith mostly because a lot of the stuff he's been in recently hasn't been that great.
I am really into Will Smith as a choice.
Right? Good.
I am too. Am I crazy? He's going to be amazing. I'm not like a huge Will Smith fan, but I think this is really great casting.
I thought it was great casting as well. I saw Will Smith and I instantly got like excited. I was like, forget everyone else. Will Smith is Deadshot. Hell yes.
Yeah.
I'm into that.
That's amazing. There's also obviously still rumors floating that Jesse Eisenberg will be joining as Lex Luthor. So, and basically all of the rumors surrounding Suicide Squad have been on point. So I think it's just a matter of confirmation on that at this point.
Yeah, there was another rumor going around. Let me see if I can find it. Because they were talking about Amanda Waller, who is the person who runs the Suicide Squad. Let me see if I can find...
Just in terms of Kara, I understand what you're saying, but she... something must have changed recently because she is in everything coming up.
Is.
She's obviously, Hyperbole fans may know, she's starring in Paper Towns. She is in Pan. That's the new Peter Pan movie that's coming out soon. Yeah. She has about 5 things in pre-production at the moment. And her first acting role was in Anna Karenina, which was only back in 2012. So I kind of feel like I want to give them the benefit of the doubt. I feel like not all of these... movies from all these different studios, all these different directors, all these different genres would be casting her if there wasn't something going on there that we haven't seen yet. But I would agree with you that, you know, what we have seen of her so far hasn't wowed me, but it hasn't been terrible.
Yeah. So it's kind of just...
we'll see. Uh-huh. We'll see.
Yeah, but there we go. So the current rumor for Amanda Waller is Oprah Winfrey.
Oh, no. Please make that the rumor that is not true.
Yeah, so that's
no,
kind
thank
of,
you.
It sounds like that's the way that they're going. I'm just looking it up. Apparently, she is the studio's top choice currently to play Amanda Waller.
No, thanks.
No.
Pass. We'll have the next person. the second choice. Oprah doesn't have time for that anyway. She's busy, like, being...
giving out cars.
yeah, whatever it is that she does these days. Let's talk about the Joker. We did talk about this in quite a lot of detail last time, so you probably don't need to spend too much time on it. Basically, neither of us are a huge fan of the Joker being in a Suicide Squad movie. Mainly because we're worried that it's going to be a Joker movie. That basically sums it up.
Yeah, I was sitting down to lunch with some of the guys that I work with, and we started hashing out, like, what we think they might use the Joker for. I think we eventually came to, like, an agreement between us that it's entirely possible that they may not be using the Joker as the main focal point, or kind of the main member of the Suicide Squad, because he never has been.
Exactly.
We kind of came up with a thing that we think, because Harley Quinn for the most part is going to be a fairly new character for most people, he's going to be used to introduce her, and potentially the stuff that we'll get with the Joker will either be in flashbacks to when he was at Arkham Asylum and Harley was treating him, or possibly we will see that in real, like, a little bit of real time, and how Harley Quinn comes to be.
Yeah, I hope so. And I would be okay with them using him in that way. I think I mentioned last week that I hope, and I, you know, am willing to give them the benefit of the doubt, that they're using the Joker as an entry point for people who are not familiar with the Suicide Squad. And if that is the case, then again, I'm totally fine with that. I think that also might explain why they're casting Will Smith and some of these people. Because they want big names on this, because Suicide Squad is not a hugely well-known thing as some of the other, or the rest of their properties are. So, yeah, I think that could work, and let's keep fingers crossed. Suicide Squad, of course, is not out until August 2016, so there's still plenty of time on that one. Let's jump over to X-Men, my favorite of the franchises. Occasionally, when they're not, you know, overcomplicating themselves. We have a villain. We have an Apocalypse.
We do.
Oscar Isaac is going to play Apocalypse. Of course, we got a little glimpse of Apocalypse, who is decidedly not Oscar Isaac, at the end of Days of Future Past. But now this is all confirmed. What are you feeling?
I really like Oscar Isaac as an actor. Like, I'm super into him. I don't know if anyone listening... And it really throws me off because they call it Inside Llewyn Davis, but that double L in Welsh is pronounced completely differently. So it throws me off every time I hear it pronounced like that.
But, oh, how do you actually pronounce that? Give us a little lesson.
So a double L in Welsh is a sound. So,
oh, what sound? Okay.
So he would be Inside Llewyn Davis.
All right.
So
I'm not even going to attempt that. He was in that movie that Don, you just said. He was also in Drive.
Yeah, and he's been pretty fantastic. Like, I thought he was pretty fantastic in Inside Llewyn Davis.
Yeah, I agree. And I think a lot of people would agree with you on that.
Yes.
He's another person who's been just sort of active more recently. He's in Star Wars coming up.
Yeah, which also excited about that.
Yes, that's for a separate podcast. Yeah. But yeah, I'm into this. I think this will be good. I have liked all of the casting in the X-Men reboots, so I was not concerned. But hey, it's nice to have confirmation that it's someone awesome.
Yeah. So I'm super optimistic about how he's going to be playing Apocalypse.
Yes, we won't see that for a little while. Also not for a little while, another reboot with possibly less excitement attached is Fantastic Four. Because does anyone get excited about Fantastic Four? Like, let's be honest. Someone tweet at us, at Hero Hype Podcast, are you excited for Fantastic Four? I feel like the first film sort of quelled any possible excitement people could have. And although the casting does look good and does seem good. I don't know. Just whatever. That's fine. We have a synopsis for Fantastic Four. So, let's go. Contemporary reimagining of Marvel's original and longest-running superhero team centers on four young outsiders who teleport to an alternate and dangerous universe which alters their physical form in shocking ways. So, it doesn't sound all that different from what we've seen before. And I don't know if that's the best way for them to go forward with this. Because no one liked those movies.
And they're kind of taking away what almost made the characters different and interesting from that first version of Fantastic Four as well. Because I really, really like that the characters were, you know, industry professionals that were well regarded, like scientists, an astronaut, and a pilot. You know.
Yeah.
That was really, really cool because, you know, a lot of times with these superhero things, you expect them to be relative nobodies before they become superheroes. Like, the superhero is what makes them special. And it's like, no, you know what? They were kind of very well regarded within their fields and well respected prior to becoming superheroes. The superhero is just like another facet of their character. Whereas this time around, it looks like they're going to go with the typical superhero trope.
Yeah, which is boring. Like, we get it. What are they going to be, like, a skateboarder and a, like, an artist and a student and, you know, whatever.
Thanks, Breakfast Club.
Yeah. So the cast of Breakfast Club get transported and, who wouldn't? I would watch that movie. I would rather watch that than Fantastic Four. That actually sounds amazing. I'm going to add that to the list of things that we should develop. Fantastic Four coming in 2015. No one cares, and it's less than a year away at this point, and just the lack of interest in this would astound me if it was any property other than Fantastic Four. But yeah. I think this is just going to bomb really spectacularly, and I don't see that sequel getting made.
I don't either. I don't think they are marketing it very well because I'm not hearing any generated buzz about it. I'm not seeing a lot of stuff from the cast involved. You know, where are, like, all of the silly on-set Instagram pictures? Where are the pictures of you guys hanging out? Where is, like,
anything?
You know, anything. Absolutely anything. Get us excited for this movie. It's very, very easy to get people talking about this sort of thing. You get your cast, you put them on set, or take them out for dinner, or put them in their costume and put them somewhere and get them to take pictures together, show them like hanging out together, you know, give us a tiny, tiny taste of something. And, you know, we'll be like, we'll analyze those pictures to the death. Like, we'll be picking up, like, in which direction they've stitched the sleeves on the costume and blah, 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 blah. Like, we, like, superhero fans, we'll go to that kind of detail. We'll be looking at every little bit to give us information. But that's how you generate your buzz. I just want something at this point to make me interested in this movie.
Just anything. Another film that is much further away and I think has a lot more interest already is Justice League Dark. Guillermo del Toro has completed the script. Sonia, I know you're excited about this.
Yes. So back at SDCC, he was still in the process of finishing up the script. He was still adding bits to it and still kind of poking away at it. I'm so excited to hear that it's finished. Obviously, this now means that it's out of his hands. So whatever happens next with Justice League Dark is up to those executives. And I really hope that they go forward with it, because Justice League Dark is super interesting because all of the characters are supernatural. So
yeah,
it's almost gonna feel very Hellboy flavored. If you were into Hellboy at all, like I love Hellboy, so it's gonna be in that kind of vein. So super excited about that.
I was at Del Toro's panel at Comic-Con this year, and I have to say, he is just the coolest guy ever. Just yeah. the way that he talks about his projects, the way he talks about things. He was there talking about Crimson Peak, but he was also talking about Pacific Rim 2 and Hellboy 3 and, you know, a few other things.
Yeah.
He's just basically so cool. I want to use a word to describe him that is not family friendly, but I think you can work out what it was. And that's a word he used about 45 times in like 5 sentences. So I feel like we could be friends, Del Toro and I. But yeah, he's just he just seems like such a cool guy. And I've always liked him a lot, but after seeing that panel, for some reason, I'm just so much more on board with him because I just want to be friends with him. But yes, it's exciting.
For me, every single film that he does, every single film that he helms, feels like a love letter to that genre.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes me love his film so much, is that he puts so much heart and so much care into them that you can feel that in every single word and every single shot. Like, he just cares so much about the properties that he puts out, and I think that's what would make me most excited about Justice League Dark, is that I know that it was in the right hands from the ground up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very good way of describing him. Let's jump over to Avengers now. Not a whole lot of Avengers news coming out. We got another pretty detailed look at the Vision, who Paul Bettany will be playing in upcoming Age of Ultron. This was on a promotional poster. And what language is that in?
Let me pull it up. Hold on.
That is not in English, and you know what? I don't speak any other languages, but that's fine. Do you like the look? I like the look. I think he looks really cool.
I like the look. I think it is a really muted take on the comic character, because the comic character is very, very bright.
Yes.
That's the most diplomatic way to put it. I will be honest, the first thing when I saw this poster was, ooh, Hawkeye! That was basically
Yeah. Surprising no one.
Surprising no one. That was my first reaction. And then I went, oh yeah, Vision.
Yeah. I like that they've toned it down, because I think he would have looked ridiculous for the universe that they have created.
Yeah.
It just, Absolutely. It would have been terrible.
I don't think the color scheme wouldn't have fit in.
No.
Because everything is slightly more muted down.
Yes. And everyone wears red and blue. That's really it. They're the only color options.
I don't know. Hawkeye's wearing purple and black.
But in a muted, like, very, very, you know, it's a good time. But bright green, maybe so, not so much.
Yellow.
Yeah. The other Age of Ultron news is that they have gone back for pickup filming to add more kick-ass on an extravagant scale, to quote Joss Whedon.
Yeah.
So that's always a good sign. We'll take that.
There is.
No?
I'm kind of on the fence. I'm hoping that they don't make it too action-heavy. Because I think what I love the most about the Avengers when they team up, and even from like Captain America 2, what I really loved from the movies was the downtime moments when the characters could just be the characters with each other. I feel sometimes if you take away from that too much with nonstop action, it's just not going to make you connect with the characters on as deep a level as you kind of do in the other movies.
See,
I'm hoping they give enough downtime to be able to get some of that in.
See, I have just accepted the fact that this is a Joss Whedon movie. This isn't a Russo Brothers movie. So it's going to be just lots of action and less emotional connection with the characters. That's unfortunate. At the same time, like, I'm glad that he's not touching my Cap movies, and I'll just be grateful for that and accept that the Avengers is always going to be a big action fest, because it's the only chance to get all the characters together and they want to have lots of big action scenes. And I totally agree with what you're saying. I think realistically, that's not going to be what these movies are about. because yeah, it just can't be. It would be great if they could be, but it would have to be like an hour longer, and they're already super long. So, yes, I see what you're saying. Hopefully it will be, you know, somewhat balanced anyway, but we shall see. Not really movie news, but kind of. Guardians of the Galaxy, if you sat through the, you know, 14 minutes of credits and waited to see the Howard the Duck scene, then you, hey, you might be excited about this. For everyone else who watched that and thought, why am I still sitting in the cinema? Tune out now. Marvel is planning to release a new Howard the Duck comic book. So, cool. That's super exciting.
I'm probably going to pick it up.
Just yeah, because you would.
The way that they described it is that it's going to, like, span a lot of Marvel franchises. That he's going to, like, travel across all the different Marvel franchises. Like, seeing Howard the Duck interact with all of these different characters would be absolutely hilarious to me.
Yeah.
So I will probably at least pick up the first issue to see what they're kind of going with.
And that's the only way that they're going to be able to sell this, let's be real. The first issue is set for 4th of March 2015, so if you need to mark that down in your calendar, you can. Just so long as we don't have to watch a Howard the Duck movie, I'm fine with this. That would be a step too far. That would be too much for me. That's all the big news that we have for the last fortnight. A little bit more. We had confirmation that Michelle McLaren is going to direct Wonder Woman. We talked about this a lot last time, but hey, it's nice to have the confirmation. So we can get excited about that now that it's all officially happening. Yeah. There was a How It Should Have Ended video released for Guardians of the Galaxy. I love these so much.
I love these.
They are so great. And the superhero ones are fantastic. What I love about the Guardians of the Galaxy one is rather than doing a typical How It Should Have Ended, they went through the entire film and did how this entire film makes no sense and is totally ridiculous. I feel like ridiculous has been my word of the episode.
Yeah.
But they're very funny. It's very funny, as they always are. Did you like this one?
Yeah, I still... Even when I came out of Guardians of the Galaxy, I think my first reaction was, why did he just not... Like, when Peter Quill starts dancing, like, doing the dance-off bit, why did he fall for that? Like, that was my thing the whole time. I still can't get past that. Sorry, Guardians of the Galaxy fans. I
don't think anyone would defend Guardians of the Galaxy on the base of logic. It's a very entertaining movie. It's a lot of fun. It expanded the universe very well, and it introduced a lot of great characters, but it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I think we can all agree on that. So we accept it for what it is, you know? Yeah. It's just born that way, and that's fine. Last little bit of news, which, well, I mean, I'm you know, into this, even if no one else is. Ian McKellen almost backed out of doing Lord of the Rings because of his X-Men commitments. So, you know, that's kind of the opposite of what we would usually talk about. So, he was always going to do X-Men. So we have Bryan Singer to thank for him being Gandalf. And whoever thought that we'd be thanking Bryan Singer for anything? But there you go.
Yeah. I love... I can't remember who wrote the article for it. I think it was Selena who wrote the article for it. But she put a line in her article that... I'm going to read it verbatim. It's like, Singer heard the news, called up McKellen and said, "You shall not pass on playing Gandalf." And then in parentheses put, "Okay, no, but let's just pretend that's how it happened."
Yeah, that would be great. And I have to say, like, I have my issues with those X-Men movies, but Ian McKellen is not one of them and never will be one of them because he's amazing in everything.
Ian McKellen as Magneto was inspired, and but then I also can't imagine Lord of the Rings without Ian McKellen either, because Ian McKellen as Gandalf is also
that's because Ian McKellen plastic. Should play every role in everything.
Can we just go back to the Harry Potter movies and make Ian McKellen Dumbledore as
and
well?
Every other character? Yes, we can.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm all for the one-person shows, it seems, this week. But seriously, Ian McKellen is like my religion. So That would be all fine with me. That's it for news this week. Let's see what you guys said on the last episode. Oh, you said some nice things. Shelby said, I am glad there's finally a superhero news podcast with a female host. Way to represent. Thanks, Shelby. We're super excited as well. Ravenclaw 1991 is really into Young Avengers, so you need to talk to Donya about that. Yes. And Lycorine, who I hope I said your name correctly this time because you spelt it out for me in your comment.
Lycorine or Lycorine.
Yes, also very excited for Young Avengers. So we have a lot of Young Avengers fans. Very good point. If we go with the newer version of Young Avengers, at least we would get to see Kid Loki. I feel like that's a good enough reason to go ahead with it.
I'm a bigger fan of the original run of Young Avengers, so the original lineup. So I would want to see them before the Marvel Now lineup, which is the current run of Young Avengers,
but
which has some of the, has some of the original members of the Young Avengers team in it, but has brought new people in, which, it's so frustrating for me because...
Don't start. We'll be here forever.
Okay.
I know. I know what you're like. I know what you're like. Yeah, keep it on Twitter. You save that for Twitter. You guys can talk to Donya forever about Young Avengers, but if I don't stop her now, this is going to be another hour. We might have to do a special podcast on it. You can do a one-woman show. There you go. We'll do a Hero Hype one-woman show. Yeah. If only. Okay, so that's all we have for this week. Remember to let us know what you think about all the news we talked about on Twitter at Hero Hype Podcast. Leave us a comment in the comment section of this podcast post on Hypeable, and you know, when you have time, make sure you do that rating and reviewing. We would really appreciate it. We are a brand new show, and that's a really great way for other people to find us. If you are enjoying it, maybe other people will as well. And who doesn't want more superhero comic book nerds to talk about things with? Because we're all just nerds here, just a big group of nerds, and it's great. I think that's great.
Yeah.
So until next time, I'm Marima.
And I'm Danya.
This has been Hero Hype. Bye.
Bye.